"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on 1 to 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on Demand. We will check in periodically with Steve Gregory. He is reporting live in Holmby Hills in West L.A. From Pete Diddy's estate. Diddy had his palatial mansion raided today by Homeland Security and other agencies. Something about sex trafficking, a massive sex trafficking operation involving girls and boys. Diddy fled to the East Coast sometime over the weekend. Supposedly, his properties in Miami and New York are also being raided. His two sons were arrested at the mansion here in Los Angeles. Steve had the exclusive story, and he will follow up later on. Also, we're going to carry Shohei Ohtani's statement. He's going to read a statement. I don't think there's anything else that we're going to learn, but we'll carry that about 2:45. And we now go to Peter Charalambos with ABC News, because Donald Trump saw his bond for that case in New York City slashed by almost two-thirds. He was supposed to put up $454 million plus interest to settle that civil verdict against him. Let's get Peter on.
Yeah. So Donald Trump really had a mixed bag of results from the New York court system today. On one hand, as you mentioned, the New York courts kind of handed him a lifeline when it came to his civil fraud case. The former president had a deadline today to pay as much as about $500 million to stop the enforcement of a financial penalty after that trial. The former president said that attaining a bond in that case was practically impossible, and he made a last-ditch effort to ask an appeals court in New York to stop the enforcement or allow some kind of alternate arrangement. So that's what they've done here. Instead of having to put up $464 million, the former president can just put up $175 million. And while that's still a hefty chunk of change, the former president has suggested that he has enough money in cash, bonds, and other liquid securities to cover that. However, he's not fully out of the clear in his criminal case that relates to hush money payments to Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. A judge locked in an April 15th trial date. So Donald Trump will be the first former president to have a criminal trial, and will begin in less than 21 days in New York.
And refresh everybody's memory specifically, what is that trial going to be about?
Yeah, it's going to be a lengthy trial. We're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. The allegation here is that in the aftermath of the 2016 election, Donald Trump falsified business records in order to repay his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, who, ahead of the 2016 election, made a payment to Stormy Daniels to prevent her from talking publicly about a sexual interaction she had with Donald Trump. The prosecutors in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office suggest that this is a true election interference case, that Donald Trump was trying to hide information from voters. Trump's lawyers have reiterated the idea that this case is simply election interference in their eyes ahead of the 2024 election, and that a trial has no place this close to a presidential election.
So it's definitely starting April 16th, you said? And does Trump have any other way to delay it? Because that seems to be his main strategy in all the cases, is get it pushed back past the election.
Yeah, we certainly expect Donald Trump to make some additional efforts to delay the trial. They suggest in court today they're going to make a motion due to the immense amount of press attention to the case itself. They could theoretically request for a different venue. That's another thing that they've signaled they might do in court. But the judge here seems pretty firm. He's kind of locked in this date. It's going to be a long commitment for him. Jury selection will begin that Monday on April 15th.
Going back to the bond for just a second, the $464 million he was supposed to put up plus the plus interest. This was a five-judge appeals panel that made the decision. Do we know what the vote was, and did they make any commentary about the case? Because I guess they thought $464 million was excessive, an excessive fine in a way, to demand that it's be put up in the form of a bond. Did they make any recommendation on that?
It's a very short opinion. It's just two pages in this case. It was signed by these five judges. It was decided by this panel of five judges that you said. It's hard to know exactly what convinced them. This was really an 11th hour move by the former president to get a delay. And to a lot of us, we were not really expecting a decision in time to actually impact this deadline. Fundamentally, Trump has argued that if he were in a position where he had to sell properties, for example, if he had to sell Trump Tower or a skyscraper he has in downtown Manhattan, and if he eventually succeeded in his appeal, it would be an irreparable harm because he's not going to be able to get those properties back. Now, we don't know for sure if that was the convincing argument that changed the mind of these judges. If you recall, about a month ago, they declined a similar request. But it looks like Trump now has 10 days to secure a bond or simply just pay out $175 million. And he suggested he has the cash to do that.
No, he didn't seem to have any problem with it at all. He said it would be an honor to pay the bond. So
he was thrilled at this opportunity. And honestly, it came in the middle of this hearing related to his criminal trial. The former president's lawyers were getting pretty tough questions from the judge in that case. And the hearing took about a 45-minute break. During that time, Donald Trump got the news that the appeal had been successful and told reporters that he was very grateful to the appeals court as he reentered the courtroom around noon.
All right, Peter, thanks for coming on and clarifying all those details.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
ABC News, Peter Charalambos on the Trump beat today. His bond that he has to post, $175 million instead of $464 million, and apparently he can access that kind of money, and he's not going to have Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, confiscate Trump Tower and Mar-a-Lago and all his other properties over paperwork crimes, which sounds like this criminal trial is another paperwork crime that we're talking about here. When we come back... The LA Times says Trump, the headline is Trump aims to round up undocumented migrants from California. Here's how he's going to do it. We'll see what their scenario, the scenario they paint. Boy, it's just like a relentless assault.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
So we just brought you the latest Trump news. He got that bond he had to put up. He had to put up in that civil case in New York. It was reduced by a five-member appeals court panel from $464 million plus about another $100 million in interest down to $175 million. And it looks like he can come up with the money or a bond for that. The Los Angeles Times has a columnist named Doyle McManus. And the headline on his column today was, Trump aims to round up undocumented migrants from California. Here's how. And I'm going to run through this so you know what's coming in case Trump is serious and Trump wins. He's got an immigration advisor, Stephen Miller, who's from Santa Monica. He went to Santa Monica High School. And this sometimes is what happens when you have one oppressive single political culture, a monoculture, because it's far left wing in Santa Monica. And sometimes it produces tremendous resistance. And that culture in Santa Monica produced Stephen Miller. And he is in charge of Trump's immigration policy. And if you believe what they say, it's always hard to tell what's campaign rhetoric and what's going to be real, that he would assemble a giant force, including National Guard troops, to seize undocumented aliens and then transport them to camps in Texas and then have them expelled. So they'd be collected in California, sent to Texas, and then deported from there. And Miller went on a podcast hosted by Charlie Kirk and said a very conservative estimate would be about 10 million. And if California doesn't want to cooperate, then we'll order National Guard units, like from Texas, to cross into California to enforce the law. Miller promised the operation would be as daring and ambitious as building the Panama Canal. This is according to Doyle McManus, writing for the LA Times. And the question that McManus poses in the column is, could Trump really do that? And he writes, from a legal standpoint, yes. Because there's something called the Insurrection Act. And he could declare that the National Guard is needed to enforce immigration law and send troops from Texas or anywhere else into California. And it doesn't matter if Governor Newsom agrees or not. In fact, if Newsom filed a lawsuit against Trump to block the move, it would almost certainly fail. The Insurrection Act, according to one professor of law at Syracuse, gives the president sweeping authority. No state has ever sued successfully to stop the deployment of the National Guard under the Insurrection Act, according to another legal expert at New York University. Of course, the actual practical practical maneuvers that you'd need to execute here, you would be rounding up several million people. They say it's 2 million undocumented. God, every paragraph has another euphemism. It's illegal aliens. 2 million of them. I think there's a lot more than 2 million. But even 2 million would be 5% of the population. And according to the Times, more than two-thirds have been in the state longer than 10 years. So there's going to be massive protests over this. 1.5 million workers, 1.5 million workers are illegal aliens. That's 7% of the state's workforce. Half of them work in agriculture, construction, hospitality, and retail. So this is what happens when you don't enforce immigration law for 30 years. You end up with a problem so big, so embedded into the economy and into the culture, and just the sheer number of people, that when you say, you know what, we're going to enforce the law on everybody, no exceptions, everybody freaks out. Well, you can't do that. And that's what the pro illegal immigration crowd counts on, that you have no enforcement of immigration law long enough that to try to correct the problem is too big. We've got that issue with homeless as well. They let the homeless issue fester for 10 years, and now they're saying, oh, what are you going to do? We've got nowhere to put these people. What, are you going to round them all up and arrest them? See, that was the plan. The plan is to have these problems not solved for such a long period of time that the excuse for doing nothing forever is, it's just too big. It's really not practical. Who's going to do it? There is a think tank called the Heritage Foundation, and it's led by a former Trump official. And they have all these proposals blocking FEMA grants to state and local agencies that don't cooperate with ICE, deny federal loans and grants to students at universities that allow illegal aliens to pay in-state tuition. And because California is, we're giving away free health care to illegal aliens. You know, free schooling, free health care, free lawyers. It's so embedded in the culture. Ultimately, though, the state of California has no power to regulate federal policy on immigration if the federal government, if an administration decided once and for all they were going to enforce the law. And for all the screaming and crying and howling that will go on if Trump and Stephen Miller actually do this, and we don't know they're going to do it. I mean, there's it'd be very difficult to do, obviously. And there's going to be 1,000 other things that are need to be taken care of as well by the administration. But the border issue, that's overwhelming for much of the country. And it's been wrong and unfair that California has had to deal with the brunt of this. It costs us many billion dollars a year. And most other states haven't had to deal with what we've had to deal with. So, and, you know, Trump never has had any support in California, and he might not have any problem at all taking it on and starting a huge war over the illegal immigration issue. Now, when we come back, I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and they had an interview with the Mexican president, Andres Manuel López Obrador. And you watch this, and he spoke entirely in Spanish. It had to be translated. But we're going to play a couple of clips of the translation. And he is a piece of work. And it's pretty clear that the drug cartels run the country. Do you know the cartels employ 175,000 Mexicans in Mexico? 175,000. And if there are any journalists or any politicians who speak out against the cartels, they get assassinated. There have been hundreds of candidates killed in Mexico. Hundreds. And Obrador pretends that nothing bad is happening. And he was confronted about all the fentanyl being produced. Wait till you hear the list of demands he's making of the U.S. before he'll continue to stem the flow of illegal aliens across the border. He really has a major effect on how many illegals cross our border. And he can turn the spigot on or turn the spigot off. We'll play a couple of these clips and explain what that all means coming up.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Watching 60 Minutes last night, they had an interview. Sharon Alfonsi was the reporter with the Mexican president. His full name, Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. AMLO, they call him for short, AMLO. Call him Obrador. And he is an arrogant son of a gun. He knows exactly what he's doing by facilitating millions of illegal aliens into this country. Because you may not know this, but the Biden administration a few months ago, when they saw how open borders was killing them in the polls, killing their chances to get reelected, they decided they had to do something. And they sent the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, to Mexico to meet with Obrador, along with other White House officials. Now, after the meeting, nobody would talk. And if they said anything at all, it was all diplomatic niceties. But they must have threatened Obrador with something because they were desperate. Because, as you know, it's not millions of Mexicans coming over the border. That's the way it used to be maybe 20 years ago. Now it's 160 different countries. And a lot of them are showing up in the along Mexico's southern border from all over South America and Central America and getting through Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras and then making it to Mexico. So if you shut off the flow at the southern Mexican border, then they can't get to the northern border easily. And wouldn't you know it, border traffic at the U.S.-Mexican border dropped by 50% between December and January. And no, it wasn't seasonal. It was Obrador had sent out his law enforcement to shut down the southern border. If they can't get into Mexico or they can't get very far into Mexico, then they can't get into the U.S. And that's because Blinken must have made some kind of threat. Some kind of hammer came down. Trump did this with Mexico during his term. He threatened them economically. Our economies are so intertwined that we could do whatever we want to destroy the Mexican economy if we chose. And Obrador knows that. And so when Blinken finally showed up in his office, temporarily at least, the jig was up. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to go back to his old ways. And he feels free to make demands. I mean, They're blackmail demands. The U.S. must do this or I'll open the spigot again. We're going to play a clip from the interview with Sharon Afonso from 60 Minutes. He speaks in Spanish, but it is translated. And she's asking about people calling his demands to the U.S. being diplomatic blackmail. Roll it. Cut one.
With the ear of the White House, President Lopez Obrador proposed his fix, that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, lift sanctions on Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo, and legalize millions of law-abiding Mexicans living in the U.S.
If they don't do the things that you've said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Your critics have said what you're doing or what you're asking for to help secure the border is diplomatic blackmail. What do you say?
I'm speaking frankly. We have to say things as they are. And I always say what I feel. I always say what I think.
If they don't do those things, will you continue to help to secure the border?
Yes, because our relationship is very important. It is fundamental.
So he contradicts himself in that answer. If he, if the U.S. doesn't meet his demands, then the flow is going to continue. Then he's asked, are you going to secure the border? Well, yes. Well, you can't have both here. Go through the demands that he made again. $20 billion to poor countries in Central America and the Caribbean. $20 billion. So it's a shakedown. That's what it is. Do as I say. Give me the money or we're going to flood the zone with more migrants that you can't take care of. Then he wants us to relieve trade sanctions on Venezuela and Cuba. Two basically communist countries whose conditions are horrific. We've got a huge number of Venezuelans coming over the border. And it's the Venezuelan government's fault. And he wants us to open up trade and or give them aid. We got to reward them for torturing their own people. And then he wants all the illegal aliens in Mexico, all the illegal alien Mexicans, to be legalized. He wants to be in charge of our immigration policy. He wants to be in charge of our State Department foreign policy, how we deal with communist nations in our sphere. And if we don't listen to him, then his weapon is to send millions of poor people here to create chaos in the cities, like they're doing in New York and Chicago. And eventually, we're going to get more here too as well, because as Texas is sealed off, that border is sealed off, more are pouring in at the California-Mexican border. Here's Obrador deflecting over the idea that Mexico is pumping in a lot of fentanyl that's killing tens of thousands of Americans. Play cut number two.
EA says cartels are mass producing fentanyl, and the U.S. State Department has said that most of it is coming out of Mexico. Are they wrong?
Yes. Or rather, they don't have all the information, because fentanyl is also produced in the United States.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico, and the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
Well, that's a lot. First of all, he lied outright. What Sharon Afonso was saying is true. Most of the fentanyl is created in Mexico. That's absolute fact. Of course, some of it's made here. And of course, a small amount's made in Canada. I don't think anybody is fearing Canadian drug cartels. But the Mexican drug cartels, and this was in the same story, employ 175,000 people. Their prime product now is fentanyl because it's really cheap. They sell a lot of it. It's extremely addictive, and it's deadly. But that's their number one product, is fentanyl. So He just lies. Of course, what do you, you know, there's only so much you can do. I mean, to try to bang the truth out of a guy like that. Because no matter what you say, he'll just say, oh, that's not true. Well, that's not true. Most of it's made in the United States. No, it's not. It's Mexico. No, it's made in the U.S. What do you, you know, you end up in a childish go around there. But he doesn't care how many Americans he kills. He looks at the drug cartel. He's never going to start a fight with them or he'd get killed. Elsewhere in the story, they talked about the hundreds of political candidates and journalists who've been killed over the years. Nobody can speak out against drug cartels. It always, for the rest of our lifetimes, is going to be the dominant force in Mexico. All we can do is play defense and close the border. Close the border, make it as difficult as possible for the illegal aliens to come over. The human smuggling, the sex trafficking, the drug trafficking. He is right. We produce a hell of a market for drugs. And we do have some pretty serious social problems, the way families and communities have disintegrated. I mean, most people have disintegrated into spending their days staring at screens. But he's still supplying most of the poison. Most of the poison's coming over the border. Sometimes I think our federal government, no, not sometimes I think, every day I think the federal government is scared of the cartels. The federal government, maybe we're getting kickbacks. Maybe the federal government's getting a cut. There's some kind of corruption going on because we never really take an aggressive stance at the border to stop anything from coming over and to take on these cartels. If Trump wins, maybe he'll do it. But the Biden administration bent over for the cartels, bent over for Obrador up until a few months ago because their reelection chances depend on doing something to tamp down the border. But it's one of the worst policies you'll ever see in your life, these border policies. It's done nobody any good. And he, just on the border alone, Biden ought to get smoked in the election. Not to mention the ridiculous inflation, which was created by an excess of federal spending. I wouldn't call it incompetence because I think they intended to leave the border wide open. You know, we've had Mark Krikorian on many times from the Center for Immigration Studies. He said, no, that's the philosophy that the White House crowd believes in. They're far left wing. They don't believe in the legitimacy of the United States. They think we're an illegitimate capitalistic nation built on racism and blah, blah, blah. You've heard it 1,000 times. And that our whole system needs to be disrupted. And we should give all the poor people of the world a slice of our empire here. And they truly believe that, and the policy reflects it. A lot of people waste time criticizing the Biden administration as being incompetent. No, it's not. It's actually quite competent. It's pushing a philosophy that they absolutely believe in, like a religion. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, we're going to go live now to Shohei Ohtani.
Ipe Mizuhara was fired during the team's trip to South Korea.
まず皆さん、来ていただいてありがとうございます。僕も話したかったので、嬉しく思ってますし、まあチームの関係者の皆さん、僕自身もそうですけど、ファンの皆さんもここ1週間くらいですかね、厳しい1週間だと思うんですけども、まあメディアの皆さんも含めて、まあ我慢とご理解をしていただいたのはすごくありがたいなと思っています。まあまず、僕自身も、信頼していた、肩の過ちというかショックですし、今はそういうふうに感じています。
Well, first of all, thank you very much for coming. I wanted to be here today to be able to talk. I'm sure it was very tough. It's been a tough week for fans and team officials, and I'm very grateful that the media has been patient in this process. Just on a personal note, I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this.
まあ現在進行中の調査もありますので、今日話せることにまず限りがあるというのもまあご理解いただきたいなということと、また今日ここに詳細をまとめた、分かりやすく皆さんにお伝えするためにまとめたメモがありますので、そちらの方に従って
何があったのかというのをまず、説明させていただきたいなと思います。
So obviously today there's things that I'm limited in being able to talk about. I hope you understand. I do have a document in front of me that I will refer to that will detail what has happened.
まずはじめに、僕自身は、何かにかけたりとか、誰かに代わって、そのスポーツイベントにかけたりとか、それをまた頼んだり、っていうことはないですし、まあ、僕の口座からブックメーカーに対して、誰かに送金を依頼したことももちろん全く、ありません。
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
まあ、本当に数日前まで、まあ、彼が、そういうことをしていたっていうのも、まあ、全く知りませんでした。
Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening.
まあ、結論から言うと、彼がまあ僕の口座からお金を、盗んで、なおかつ、まあ、みんな僕の周りもそうですね、みんなに、まあ、嘘をついていたっていうのが、まあ、結論から言うとそういうことになります。
Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
まあ、まず初めに言うと先週末、韓国ですね、僕の代理人に対してメディアの方から私が、僕のにですね、違法のブックメーカーから、僕が、関与しているのではないかというスポーツ博打に賭博について、関与しているのではないかという打診があり連絡がありました。
Last weekend in Korea, media has reached out to a representative in my camp, inquiring about my potential involvement in this.Sports betting.
で、一平さんは僕にこういった取材の依頼があるということをまず、僕には話していなかったし、僕の方にそういう連絡はまず来ていなかったということと、まず初めに代理人には、一平さんは僕と話して分かったのは、一平さんにではなく、某友人の借金の肩代わりとして、支払ったというふうに、僕の代理人も含めてみんなに話してました。
So,Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. And to the representatives in my camp, Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt.
で、その翌日にさらに尋問で、一平さんは、僕たちの代理人に対して、借金は自分のもの、つまり一平さん自身が作ったものだということを、説明しました。
Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually in fact Ipe who was in debt.
で、それを僕が、まあ、肩代わりしたという話を、その時に代理人に話したそうです。
And told my representatives that I was paying off those debt.
そしてこれらは全く、全てが嘘だったということですね。
And this all of this has been a complete lie.
一平さんは取材依頼のことも僕にはもちろん、その時伝えていなかったですし、代理人の人たちに対しても、僕はすでに彼と話して、彼と話してコミュニケーションを取っていたということを、嘘をついてました。
So Ipe, obviously lied about, you know, basically didn't tell me about the media inquiry.
僕もそうだし代表、チームもそうですね、
yeah.
チームも、代理の人たちに対しても、まあ、つまり僕とコミュニケーションを取っていたっていうふうに嘘をついてました。
So Ipe has been telling everybody around that Ipe has been communicating with Shohei on all of this account to my representative, you know, to my representative, to the team, and that hasn't been true.
そして僕がこのギャンブルに関しての問題を初めて知ったのは、韓国での第一戦が終わった後に行われたチームミーティング、の時、あの試合の後のチームミーティングの時です。
The first time I knew about this gambling, Ipe's gambling was during the, after the first game when we had team meeting in the clubhouse.
まあそのミーティングで彼は全部英語で話していたので、僕に通訳もちろんついて、その時ついていなくて、全て英語で話していたので、まあ、完全には理解できま、
できていなくて、まあ、なんとなくこういう内容だろうなっていうのはおそらくは、理解はできていましたけど、なんとなく違和感をその時は感じてました。
So during the team meeting, obviously, Ipe was speaking in English and I didn't have a translator on my side. But even with that, I kind of understood what was going on and started to feel that there was something amiss.
で、まあ、その時彼は僕に対してホテルに帰った後で、2人で、より詳しいことを、2人で話したいので今は待ってくれというふうに言っていたので、僕はまずその時はホテルまで待つことにしてました。
Just prior to the meeting, I was told by Ipe, hey, let's talk one to one in the hotel after the meeting. So I waited until then.
で、僕は一平さんがその時にギャンブル、ミーティングの時にギャンブルの依存症だっていうのは僕はもちろん知らなかったですし、彼が借金をしていることもその時、そのミーティングの時はもちろん知りませんでした。
So up until that team meeting, I didn't know that Ipe had a gambling addiction and was in debt.
で、僕は彼の借金返済にももちろん同意、その時も同意してませんし、物件会社に対して彼に送金をしてくれと頼んだことももちろん、許可したことももちろんないです。
And at that, obviously at that point, or I, and obviously I did not, never agreed to pay off the debt or, you know, make payments to the bookmaker.
で、まあその後試合後、ホテルに、戻って一平さんと初めてそこで話をして、彼に巨額の借金があることをその時知りました。
And finally, when we went back to the hotel and talked one-to-one, that was when I was, when I found out that he had a massive debt.
で、彼はその時私に、僕の口座を勝手に、僕の口座に勝手にアクセスして、ブックメーカーに送金していたということを僕に伝えました。
And it was revealed to me during that meeting that he, Ipe admitted that he was sending money, using my account to the bookmaker.
でまあ、僕はやっぱりおかしい、これおかしいなと思って、代理人にと話したいということで代理人たちを呼んでそこで話し合いました。
And at that moment, obviously I was, it was an absurd thing that was happening and I've contacted my representatives at that point.
でまあ、話終わってこれを聞いて、僕の代理人もやっぱり彼に嘘をつかれていたということを、初めて知って、すぐにドジャースの皆さんと、弁護士の人たちにその時に連絡しました。
So when I was finally able to talk to my representatives, that's when my representatives found out that Ipe has been lying the whole time, and that's when I started contacting the Dodgers and my lawyers.
で、まあ、そのドジャースの皆さんも、代理の人たちもその彼らもその時に初めてまた自分たちも嘘をつかれていたということをその時に知りました。
And the Dodgers and the lawyers at that moment found out also as well that they have been lied to.
そして僕が弁護士の人たちは、これは窃盗と詐欺のことなので、これを警察の当局に引き渡すという報告を、その時にしました。
And my lawyers recommended that, you know, since this is theft and fraud, that we have the proper authorities handle this matter.
まあ、これがそこまでの流れなので、僕はもちろんスポーツ賭博にはもちろん関与していないですし、ブックメーカーにさっきも言いましたけど送金をしていたという事実は全く、ありません。
So, you know, in conclusion, I do want to make it clear that I never betted on sports or have willfully sent money to the bookmaker.
まあ正直、あのショックという、まあ、言葉が、まあ、正しいとは思わないですし、まあ、それ以上のこう、うまく言葉では表せないような、感覚でこの1週間ぐらいはずっと過ごしてきたので、今はそれをまあ言葉にするのは、難しいなという思っています。
You know, to summarize how I'm feeling right now, I'm just beyond shocked. It's really hard to verbalize how I am feeling at this point.
まあただもうシーズンも本格的にスタートするので、ここからは弁護士の、方々にもお任せしますし、僕自身も、警察当局の協力に全面的に協力したいなと思ってます。
And the season's going to start, so I'm going to obviously let my lawyers handle matters from here on out, and I am completely assisting in all investigations that are taking place right now.
なので、まあ、気持ちを切り替えるのは難しいですけども、シーズンに向けて、またスタートしたいですし、今日まずお話できてよかったなとも思っているので、まあ、今日は質疑応答は、これが今お話しできるすべてなので質疑応答はしませんが、これから、さらに進んでいくと思います。
You know, I'm looking forward to focusing on the season. I'm glad that we had this opportunity to talk. And I'm sure there'll be continuing investigations moving forward.
以上です。ありがとうございました。
Thank you very much.
We will have more on all of this on our...
Okay, you just heard Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, and he claims he had no knowledge at all about his interpreter's gambling, and he had nothing to do with paying off the gambling debts. The only question not addressed by Ohtani is how does his interpreter get access to his bank account for $4.5 million and possibly 9 wire transfers? That's what ESPN had, 9 wire transfers of about $500,000 each. How do you do that over a period of months? And Ohtani doesn't know about it, and nobody's in Ohtani's legal or financial or management circle know about it. I don't think he addressed that, did he?
No.
Well, that's what I'm wondering about.
And to clarify, the translator during that press conference was Will Ertin. He's been a member of the Dodgers organization for the last 8 years. He was hired when Kenta Maeda signed with the Dodgers and immediately took over once Ipe Mizuhara was fired by the Dodgers. So he's been with the organization for a few years.
We will have more on this. We're also going to get Steve Gregory back to talk about the huge federal raid on the rap star. He's a producer, music executive, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs. He had his home raided in Holmby Hills, and Deborah's going to have more details. So will Steve, and we'll get into it at length after the news. Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour news center.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.